Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Hey, Steve, it's Jay. Hey, give me a call. You're probably on the water. Talk to you later. Steve, this is Jay. Call me. I've been calling you, trying to get a hold of you here. Need to call me back.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Steve, you got to call me. This is not good. Need you to call me. Steve, listen, we're pulling the endorsement. That's it. This possum stuff has to end. We got possums everywhere. Mick Nick's in the hospital. He's been bit like 13 times. He's got rabies needles in his stomach. I got Frosty. He's too scared to come into work. Call me.
All right, folks. You can tell from my voicemail this week that the Possum for a Shield Rod promo is still going on.
Possum for a Shield Rod.
Possum for a Shield Rod.
What noise do possums make? Do they hiss? Do they bark? Like
possums don't bark. I don't know. But all I can tell you, Jay left me some really good feedback this week. You can definitely trade a possum for the shield rod at the Muskie Shop. It was abundantly clear. Take your possum in, get a shield rod. Boys, that's what's up. Guru, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Just watching some Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. Life finds a way. Are you watching? Jeff Goldblum looks real good in Jurassic Park 1. Just going to say it.
Pretty
pimpin'.
Looks amazing.
Looks amazing. That pose, you know, you can't go wrong. I'm just saying. I don't lean that way, but man, Jeff Goldblum, spicy. Anyway, life finds a way. Anywho, Guru, you've been catching some fish on the Bay of Green. Looks like it.
Yes, I've been fishing with my good buddy and guide on Green Bay, Kevin Fishke.
He's about to be a part of the app, which is a great segue because we got new contributors this week. That is the little thing we're doing on the app. So Kevin's going to be with us here very shortly, correct, Tyler?
Yep.
I've got Ben Stone. Ben Stone interview coming up. I talked to Ben. Ben's a young gun from northern Minnesota. And I got Cody Daniels, who's a giant hillbilly just like me. So he's going to be covering a bunch of the southern stuff. I warn you, the interview he and I did, we do not have subtitles on it yet. We'll work on it. It's just dater, musky dater, tater, musky tater, tater, tater.
You can just tune out when they start talking, folks. You won't understand them anyway.
It basically sounds like doing banjos when we talk. So, but both of them I'm super excited about. And the other thing, I've got an interview coming up with Pete Maina. Pete explains turnover because we got a bunch of questions this week talking about what's turnover, how do I deal with turnover and all that stuff. Also, I have another interview with Meat Paina.
You know
Meat.
Yes, I do. He's a lovely, lovely, lovely man.
Meat Paina is a new contributor to the app. Don't confuse him with Pete Maina. Two entirely different people. But anyway, Guru, have you guys been trolling? What's the deal on the Bay of Green up there, dude?
Just trolling bites pretty good, man. Just the normal stuff. Just trolling. I'm not quite sure about the casting bite, but we're trolling, just tearing them up.
And shameless plug, trolling the shield rods. They're doing good, right? No question, no hiccups, nothing. Same here. I was dragging a headlock on mine. No questions. So just throwing that out there. If you have a possum, go get yourself a musky rod. That's all I'm saying. Obviously, they were pleased. Those were real voicemails. Just throwing that out there. So me and the Guru, we don't follow anybody's rules. Defiant.
Nah.
None.
We are rebels.
Rebel without a brain. Anyway, I'm just going to cut straight to it. Me and you are excited. And the guys, I'm going to tell you this. We talk about these guys' YouTube channels. Everybody's goal on YouTube is try to get, you know, paid, you know. Take a minute and when you're sitting around, subscribe to these guys. The first one up is Ben Stone. Ben's a young gun, like we said, out of Minnesota. Really good dude. He's doing great videography, really cool shots. Anyway, I got a chance to talk to him. Here she goes. All right, guys, I've got him on the phone. It's my buddy from up north, Ben Stone. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good, man. First of all, I wanted to say thanks for joining the Muskie 360 team. It's awesome that we've got you, you know, as a new addition, one of the young guns we're bringing to the app here. And first off to bring up is you got your PB here just a few days ago. You got a 50-incher, man. Tell the story. What's going on there?
Yeah, so I met up with a friend, Alex McLean. He invited me to go fish out western Minnesota, which I've never done before. Mm-hmm. And just kind of went out there on a limb. And we fished for 2.5 days. The first day we fished together, Alex got I think 47 and three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, saw some fish and nothing happened. And the third day we changed lakes and it really didn't take long. We fished one spot and then we moved to another spot. We marked one on side image and it literally about 30 seconds after that, we had a fish come up and take the sucker and I ended up missing it. I don't know if the fish had the sucker that well, but we hung on that area and this is all documented in the video, but we hung out in that area, you know, for about 10 minutes, and Alex looked over the side of the boat and saw the fish eyeing up the sucker. So we continued to stay in that area, and sure enough, fish took down the sucker both side and set the hook on her. And I mean, it was the heaviest fish I've ever felt on the end of my line. You can tell in the video. It's really struggling to pull that thing up, but got in the net and I measured 50 and a quarter, so nice. Beat my previous PB by a quarter inch, which was pretty cool.
Nice, man, nice. Well, the cool thing is, guys, if you've not been watching Ben Stone's videos, we just, like I said, we're bringing in a couple additional guys here at the app to mix things up and some young blood and some and fresh perspective. You know, it's one of those things of a fresh perspective. Ben, his videos are now on the app. You can go to the video section there. Or if you're cruising the tube of you, the YouTube, go to Ben Stone Fishing. Even if you're watching Ben Stone on the app, which I know a bunch of you are, at least go over and give him the subscription. Give him the, hey, you know, add him as a subscriber on YouTube. What's interesting is, you know, there's not a lot of action, a lot of video coming out of that area that you're in because you're fishing some pretty pressured water there in Minnesota, man.
You know,
and so sort of just for people that are absolutely new to you, they have no clue who Ben Stone is. Give us the elevator pitch. Give me the 5-second rundown of where you're fishing, what you're doing, you know, just to let people know sort of what your territory is and everything.
Yeah. So I'm in the North Metro of Minnesota. So all the lakes in the area, there's quite a few in the area that have muskies, but they're all lakes that get hit really hard. I mean, I guess the easiest to compare to is probably like the Madison chain over in Wisconsin, but these are lakes that see, you know, not only a bunch of people musky fishing, but just recreational boaters, jet skis, wakeboarders. So it can get pretty hectic and pretty tough out there. But the biggest thing that I found that I've gotten my success from is just by doing either big things or even small things just differently than anybody else. And that seemed to have paid off most of the time when I'm out there.
You know, and that's the cool thing is you're willing to do things differently. You know, that's why, like, when we asked you to, you know, be a part of the app and contribute here was, you know, we're always looking for people that have an angle that's just slightly different, you know, and that's the cool thing that you're doing. You're bringing some different things to the game, you know, whether it be crouching when you see one coming in on top water or some of these other things, which is so true. I mean, it works and just willing to do it. And you're, you know, You're a young guy with a fresh perspective, which makes it really cool. So, guys, big, big warm welcome to Ben Stone here at the app. Like I said, it's not all about YouTube, you know, because you can find him on the app. But if you're cruising YouTube, go over to Ben Stone Fishing, give him a subscribe, go over there and say, hey, heard you on the podcast, talking to those ding dongs or whatever. but man, Ben, thanks for coming on. Like I said, I just want to introduce you to the crew over here and everybody that, you know, all the awesome listeners and everything here at the app. So, you know, you're going to be seeing a lot of Ben, and Ben's doing, he's doing a couple quick tips every month, as you might have seen a couple on the front of the app already. And just keep an eye out, because Ben's going to do some ridiculous stuff. I already know that. You're already doing ridiculously awesome stuff, and you're going to continue to. But thanks, man, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, cool. What do you think, Guru?
Stoney's a good dude, man. Ben, I like ya.
I like it. I like it a lot.
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 Man. Boys, I'll tell you. There's something wrong with these two. Anyway, the next one up is a man from West Virginia, much like myself. From coal country, America.
Miracle!
Right there from... right there in the... Woo! Heartland! America! Boy, you know where you're at. You're in Muskie country. You're right there in the... I'll tell you what. Do you know where you're at, Tyler? You're down. Right there in Muskie country, boy.
Oh, good Lord.
I'll tell you what. Dale Earnhardt, that's all that matters. Because rubbing is racing, son. That's it. I care. Muskies and Dale Earnhardt, that's all I think about. That's it. My wife says, what's on your mind? It's either Muskies or Dale Earnhardt. That's it. Rest in peace, Dale. Us Southern boys don't, we don't mess around.
Classy.
Here's Cody Daniels. All right, guys. We're going to need an interpreter for this section of the podcast, because I have found another guy with an accent as bad as mine, the new addition to the Muskie 360 app, Cody Dalton from West Virginia. How you doing there in West by God, Cody?
Pretty good. Enjoying the weather.
Enjoying the weather. So, guys, I want to let you know, Cody is coming on board on the app. He's got to do some quick tips for you. But he's got a YouTube channel. It is Muskie Addict. If you want to subscribe to him, you can go to YouTube and type in Muskie Addict. A-D-D-I-C-T. And subscribe. But the main reason we brought Cody on is he is doing some weird stuff as far as, in comparison to, say, a northern angler. A lot of jigging. You've got videos, wading. You've got a lot of heavy current river systems. This stuff I'm always talking about in the app, and people listen to the Q&A section of the podcast. You know, I'm always referring to, yeah, on the Mud River, on the Kanawha River, you know, on these systems. So you're bringing a pretty interesting perspective. And just take a second and sort of explain where you fish and how you fish there in West Virginia, man.
Okay, so basically, big river systems with walking dams on them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our jigging is just finding deep water eddies off current breaks at those dams. And during cold water periods, fall and spring, the bait likes to stick at the dams. And like you said, you can just find those current breaks. You have multiple fish stacked in them, you know, just pretty much waiting for those windows to open up. I mean, there's a lot of days that, you know, we'll jig 10 hours straight, but catch four or five fish in an hour period, you know, just when those nature windows open,
Absolutely. You know, it's and one thing me and you have talked about before we were doing the podcast about how unique it is fishing the kind of areas that we fish. You know, you're not going to be able to go out and huck a bucktail all day long. You know, you're not going to be able to throw, you know, a phantom and a bucktail and a topwater is not going to put a fish in the net a lot of days. And that's one thing, folks, if you're fishing water, and I get so many messages here at the app, we get hundreds of messages a week, and I get a lot of questions from guys that are in these odd areas. Cody's going to be another resource for you guys that are not fishing those traditional musky waters. Because, you know, just like I'm fishing weird reservoirs, you're fishing the same thing. You're fishing a lot of current. Like we said, you're fishing small reservoirs, big reservoirs, and streams and creeks and a lot of places where you have to get creative to catch these fish. And just another feather in your cap there, the main reason I'm bringing him on the app, you are the guy, and I'll admit it here on the podcast, you're the guy that I stole a lot of my jigging techniques from. So give yourself a slow clap there. Great stuff. So you are you're a bad jigger. What kind of, you know, just for a tip here for people listening out, walk me through your typical jigging setup and sort of what you're looking for, man. What are you doing action wise? What are you doing rod setup wise? Just give me a brief synopsis of your jigging.
Well, so jigging rod wise, I mainly use 8-quarter rods. I use 8.5 foot extra heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Use 100-pound test just because it does locks and dams. There's a lot of steel cable, chains, all kinds of things that get snagged on in there, so I use heavy line for that. Pretty much, man, a lot of times, like, especially cold weather, it ain't even so much jigging. It's almost like slow trolling a bondy, you know, just foot off the bottom and just dragging, you know, about a mile, mm-hmm. mile and a half, an hour. And there's days they want the bait actually jigged, and there's days where they mainly hit it dragging, you know? I mean,
mm-hmm.
Do you
sort of mix up, do you mix up where one guy's jigging and one guy's dragging, or you just sort of play with that throughout the course of the day?
Yeah, I'll switch it up every once in a while. I mean, I've actually had them too, you know, I'd bring it clear to the top of the surface and have them eat at both sides, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just every once in a while, just switch it up. But for most part of the day, I'm just straight dragging the bondy. I don't pump it at all. Normally, whoever's in the back of the boat, I'll definitely have them pump the bondy a little bit more, just try to pick up a fish that way. But like I said, in cold water, that's just that slow drag is definitely outproduces jigging.
Just deadly. And that's the other thing, too. I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, they read about it, they hear about fishing southern reservoirs or dams or locks, how shallow that water is at a lock a lot of times, too. That it, you know, it's not exceptionally deep there. You can find fish sometimes in the dead of winter in 5-6 feet, you know, whether,
yeah,
you know, so it's not about,
exactly.
And when we're talking the jigging, it's not about jigging 55 feet deep, you know, it's just like a lot of times that strike, yeah, is you set the hook and he's at the surface a lot of times. It's crazy. And, yeah, and being prepared,
yep,
for that.
Exactly.
You know, and yep. And the one thing is this, is those are vicious strikes too. Those are just insane, yeah, strikes where it's just like, hold on for dear life. But guys,
yep,
Cody's going to be back on. We're definitely going to rely on him during this winter as a counterpoint to some of the southern stuff I'm doing. He's a wealth of knowledge. Of anybody I've ever talked to that is as obsessed about musky fishing as I am, Cody's one of them. So check out his videos. We're going to put his first one, the Addiction Part 2, on the app. That's going to be available for you. And anything that you have, if you're thinking West Virginia questions, if you're thinking Stone Cold, Mud River, anything over in West Virginia, send it to the app. We can get Cody on the podcast. He's happy to help answer those questions and be a wealth of knowledge for you. And, you know, anything that you guys are thinking, Cody, you're running guide trips right now, or are you going to guide over the winter, or is that something you're not doing right now?
It's something I'm trying to get into right now. As far as right now, I'm only doing it in Ohio. I still got to get legal in West Virginia, but Ohio for now, for sure. So
absolutely. And I know, yep, you hit up in the Leesville area and some of those bodies of water, something of that nature.
Yeah, I fished there in a couple of rivers in Ohio. I fished that don't see a whole lot of pressure. So
yeah, if you guys and I, like, listen, it's rare that I'm going to say somebody's a bad dude. This guy's a bad dude, and if you're up there and you want to get on some big fish, give him a shout. You can source him out through his YouTube. Is there an email or phone number for anybody on guide trips you want to give out?
Yeah, I can give out my phone number. It'd be 304-906-3728.
There you go. And if you guys missed it, you can always just back it up 20 seconds and re-listen on the podcast. Just trying to help, yeah, you with the guide business there. But the thing is this, as far as unique fishing, that's the one thing that the reason we've added you to the app, you think outside of the box, you fish outside of the box. Guys, this guy is deadly serious. I'm super excited to add you here on the app. Thank you for taking the time for the short little interview here. Check out Cody's video. It's going to be on the video section of the app. A lot of new stuff coming out. You're doing some quick tips coming out. He's going to have a couple quick tips every month here on the app. Guys, check it out. Check out Cody's YouTube section. We're going to hear a lot more from this guy here soon. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
Yep. Hillbilly.
Who you calling a hillbilly, boy?
You better watch yourself there, boy.
Watch yourself there, boy. You're in musky country.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Coat, man, that I'm telling you, I stole, and like I said in the interview with him, I stole a lot of jigging techniques from him. He's really, really good. We thought here at the app it'd be really neat to add somebody else for a different Southern perspective. We got Pete, we got Meat, we got Booker, we got Chaz, we got Guru, we got all these Southern guys, but you need a little hillbilly in your life. You know, it's just a smidge different down here, if you know what I mean. So
I didn't understand a word you guys said in that.
Not a one. It was not one. It was just 6 minutes ran by. Tyler,
I mean, if you don't, what?
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 Huh?
Huh?
What's the thing?
What'd you say? Here's what I'm saying. You know, we've got all these new guys, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about all these new guys. But it's important to take a look at our past in musky fishing, don't you think?
Yes, it is.
So what I did, we got a new segment. Basically explaining, I mean, it's really important that we do this, explaining what it was like when musky fishing was in its early days. What was it like before we had all these fancy baits, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's musky boomers. So I got Elmer Jensen from the Musky Shop, who's been around for a minute, caught a lot of muskies. Musky, you know, it was a different game back in the day. So here's Elmer just to explain what musky fishing was like back in the day.
When I started musky fishing, we made our own fishing line out of goat's hair and turpentine. And we used a raw potato as bait because it was popular at the time and we were real men.
Thank you, Elmer.
Oh, can you believe, Elmer?
They were making their own fishing line back then. That's crazy.
Yeah. You guys are old.
Hardcore. You guys are old. You guys are old. Anyway, a lot of guys have been asking, like I said, about turnover. So called up my buddy Pete's caught some muskies, boys, and he really understands turnover period and all that stuff. So to explain turnover, so everybody has a really clear idea. I can't even talk tonight. I'm pepsified. Pete's got some info on turnover. Here she goes. Fall turnover's coming up. And a lot of people have been sending a lot of questions about how to deal with turnover, what is turnover, how it affects musky fishing. So I got Pete, the man, Mayna, here. And Pete is kind enough. Pete, how you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm pretty good. A little break in between duck hunting and fishing here. Going to get back at that. With regards to the turnover itself, at least in our area here, it's basically, we're right in the middle of it. Some of the smaller lakes have already turned over, and I think some of the bigger ones are right in the middle of it, from what I understand. So we're at varying stages here right now.
And if you could and it's not something I even deal with on a regular basis as far as south as I am, we'd explain turnover, what that process actually is.
Well, it's the real basic aspect of it is that the lakes are stratifying during the summer months, and at the end of the day, warm water gets to be on top. In our particular latitude here, it seems to me it's right around 57, 58 degrees on the surface temp that you can kind of expect that the lower, which were cooler layers all summer long, and with our bigger, deeper lakes We generally get a section of cooler water called the thermocline. A lot of people have heard about that, but in our area here, that must set up about in the high 50s, mid 50 degree range, and that's all that's happening is that once that the surface temps get down low enough, all of that water mixes, and that lower water that's been down there all summer, that's mixing with everything else, and it creates a time of chaos, basically, and you get weeds dying, you get to all lakes seem to be different, but to varying degrees you get turbidity as everything's mixing, so you can get mud, you get algae, you get a lot of floating dead weeds in a lot of cases, and some lakes are uglier than others, but everything's mixing, so you more or less have consistent water temperatures and oxygen levels throughout after all this mixing occurs, and it's just a time of confusion, and it's interesting to me, with the exception of rivers that are fairly shallow, it seems like even though you get some fisheries that have enough flow, natural flow through them, reservoirs, technically they don't stratify in the summer, and some of the smaller lakes probably don't stratify to any large degree, but there just still seems to be kind of overall negative effects during the turnover period. And I've always theorized that one of the biggest things about it, besides the turbidity in the water, is just that it's a time where the fish don't know where they're supposed to be. They're all moving. Mm-hmm. I say basically everywhere is the pattern at this point. You can literally have fish where you didn't have fish on the bottom in deeper water. You can have muskies on the bottom. You can have muskies real shallow. You can have muskies on the traditional ledges. But there's no set pattern to the forage that they're feeding on or their location. Mm-hmm. And it's just generally a little tougher time of year.
So you just basically, the strategy for turnover, you just need to be running roughshod and trying a little bit of everything. You're just looking for one fish. You're looking for a singular fish that's active, or sort of what you're, when you are fishing in that or guiding in that, what are you doing to try to contact a fish?
Well, it's really a day-to-day type of thing, and that's where you're relying more and more, a little bit on instinct to a certain extent, and obviously previous patterns if you got them, but your electronics. You still, I mean, the whole deal, finding muskies isn't the end of the story. You need to find muskies that are feeding. They'll generally show up at the refrigerator, so you're looking, mm-hmm. you're looking for forage to a certain extent. If you see any patterns there, I mean, obviously you want to concentrate in and around that. Any place there's a lot of food, that's always logical. The confusing part, again, that I mentioned already, is that can be just about anywhere. But one of the more specific things I would say, that if nothing else is working for someone, they've tried a lot of different options. Maybe they found a lot of forage and tried that and still didn't do very good. You can usually tough one out fishing shallow. Mm-hmm. And especially in the afternoons, and in a lot of cases, quite shallow. So I always suggest that to people, if nothing else is working, because we start thinking deeper generally in the fall time of the year after turnover, and there can definitely be muskies in deep water near the bottom mm-hmm. during turnover. You can catch them then. I have, but if push comes to shove, shoreline beating and some of the shallow structures, it sounds dumb and it sounds simple, but no. There's still going to be mm-hmm. some fish there, and to me there's a little better odds if you find a real shallow fish that you can trigger that fish.
Well, very cool. Well, Pete, I can't thank you enough for sort of explaining turnover and giving people a heads up. We're going to do another full podcast with you here very soon. I know, be watching on Pete's social media. You've got some really cool stuff coming up as far as musky mortality and handling, correct? You're working on a project there.
Yeah, I would love to get a little more done. I got a real busy schedule traveling and filming this time of the year. But yeah, mm-hmm. that's the topic we're really going to stay on, because we've seen a lot of changes. You and I have talked about
Absolutely.
it, and I think we're kind of going in the wrong direction. And I think we're gonna, you know, really try and push for successful catch and release. The fish has got to survive or it doesn't work. And I've got some people lined up that are willing to do some videos with me that have experience in fish hatcheries and fisheries, and most importantly, delayed mortality. That's the biggest thing we need to talk about and understand.
Very cool. Well, we'll be keeping an eye on it. We'll have you back on to definitely talk about that. Thanks, Pete, for explaining turnover. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
So, all right, brother. Thanks.
10 out of 10. Nailed it.
Nailed it. Now, that was really good stuff from Pete. You know, turnover is one of those things that happens throughout the habitat range mostly, but it happens at different times in different bodies of water. You know, it's complicated. It's confusing. You really don't know if Lake A is doing it and Lake B is doing it. You know, it's really that truly that running gun part of the year. But Tyler, I'm just going to throw it out there, right?
Okay.
If I really wanted to tap into some serious musky knowledge, you know who I'm going to call.
Oh, yeah.
You know who.
I know.
I'm going to call Meat Painter.
The legend.
The legend of the North. Folks, this is the first segment from our good friend, Meat Painter, legend of the North. All right, folks. I got my good friend on the line, Meat Painter. How you doing, Meat?
Well, you know, hello, Steve, first of all. But, you know, I'm a little cranky tonight. I can't find a sucker in all of Hayward and the surrounding counties. I tell you what,
you can't find any suckers up there. What's going on?
Oh, I mean, well, you know, you might be able to find a couple, you know, suckers at the local, you know, watering hole after 10 p.m. on a Tuesday night when they have the PBR specials. But, you know, those aren't the ones we're looking to fish with, or the listeners are looking to fish with, if you know what I mean. But no, I mean, there ain't no meat to be hung. They want to go out and, you know, just get a little sauced and stare at a big bobber, and every now and then it goes down. But no, there, you can't find a sucker anywhere right now. It's a little frustrating, but you know, sometimes when your back's up against the wall, that's when you get some of your best ideas. So, you know, me and my dad Max were out in the boat, and we were tossing around all sorts of stuff. I mean, I don't even know half the name of the stuff that sponsored me anymore, but you know who they are. But anyways, so I put on one of those those little Benoit beads. I think they're called Benoit balls. I'm not sure. You put it at the end of the line, and it makes a little tick 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 tick. Supposedly that sounds like a minnow. I don't know. I've never had my head under the water listening to minnows, but you know, I trust what the people tell me. But so we take one of the little Benoit balls and put it at the end of the leader, and then we had a bunch of raw sausagevilles left over when Don, you know, he had a little too much, and we didn't cook them, you know, that day out on the water. But so what you do is you just take a normal quick strike rig, you know, imagine the sausage in your hand is a sucker, you know, one of the ends of the tip is the little mouth, and you'll hook it in there, and then you just use your imagination and where the dorsal fin is, and you slide it in there, and then you just, you know, you let her run down about, oh, say 10 feet or so. It depends on, you know, the type of water you're fishing, the conditions, the wind, all that. But, you know, I don't mean to go on a rant, but then you wheel it on down, and you know, just grab your rod with two hands, and you just start wiggling a little and pretending to make your sausage look like a real sucker. And but I tell you, those northern Wisconsin muskies, they love, let me tell you, they love a good sausage as much as the northern Wisconsin women, if you know what I mean.
All right, Meat, that's some really good advice for this late period, man. Thank you so much for
well, yeah, no, yeah, what? Absolutely. I know I'm always sorry to cut you off there, Steve. I'm always here to, you know, to help and you know, to lend tips and just share the knowledge with the crowd. So I feel it kind of I almost feel like it's my civic duty, you know. But aliens, you know, there's no other two ways to put it, but you know, they're coming for us, and I feel like as one of the, you know, one of the more foremost, you know, minds in, you know, in muskie fishing, you know, they're probably going to single out, you know, the best of the best, you know, kind of Darwinism, but, you know, up on the red planet and everything. So, you know, just to be safe, you know, I would encourage my listeners or your listeners, whoever's listening to me right now, if anybody's listening to me, I would encourage them, much like I preach, you know, to exercise caution, you know, with muskies when the water's above 50 degrees. I would really suggest that we all try and make some tinfoil hats like the one that I'm just putting on right now, because I think that's about one of the only things that could stop these aliens from reading our minds. And, you know, I'm happy to share my own knowledge with you, but I don't want it being, you know, plucked away from me. It feels like, part of my, you know, God-given rights are being violated. And I just, it feels kind of icky. I'm not going to lie.
Well, that was enlightening. Thanks for coming on.
Well, anytime, you know, and, to you and your listeners, say la vie.
Man, that was good info, don't you think?
It was spooky.
Spooky. Boys are coming for you. Coming for you. Anyway, Tyler, I don't know. Sir. I don't know. After that, we got to dial in. I really need some more. I need another taste of Elmer.
Yeah. Let's give me another Elmer.
Do you need another taste of Elmer? That sweet, sweet Elmer?
Yes, I do. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Back when I started muskie fishing, we didn't have those fancy headlocks or matlocks. The only matlock we had starred Andy Griffith.
Who is Andy Griffin?
Hey, you know who Andy Griffith is, you moron. Come on. Give me a break, guru.
Well, I'm a youngin.
I'm a youngin. I guess we better get to the Q&A.
We ask you a question, man.
Ask me a question. The first one up is Jason. Hey, guys. Just started listening to the podcast. I'm new to muskie fishing. I'm going to have going. He's going to a new lake I've never been to this weekend on the north end of Lake Ontario, Stocco Lake. Do you have any tips or pointers to catch even a small guy? Buddy, I'll tell you, little ones, big ones, everything in between, they're all persnickety. If you're new to muskie fishing, I've said it, and I've said it a bunch, black and nickel bucktails, the starter bait.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't tell you how many listeners have emailed me, messaged me on Instagram saying, hey, man, I went back to the basics, black and nickel bucktail, and I started scoring on some fish.
Yeah, it's just... That's number one, top raider, pacemaker, you know, fat bastard, all those tail plopper, plop, you know, shallow raider, crane bait, slammer, all those, just keep it basic, you know, until you start getting some muskies under your belt. I don't know if I want a muskie under my belt, but nonetheless, you know, until you start getting some muskies under your belt, keep it simple.
I got a muskie under my belt.
Got a muskie under my belt. Just keep it simple. That's my best advice, because it's going to work year round. Stick with that, you know, and a small muskie, he can't resist that. That would be my advice there. We've got... the email. It's Ron.
Email?
It's from Ron. Ron says, hey, guys. Nope, wrong one. Ron says, hey, boys, loving the pod kitty. Says, my buddy and I were fishing on a reservoir in May and caught a... God, I'm dumb. Wrong. Okay, I'll finish this one. He says they caught a 46er in May. He said, last weekend, a different friend of mine caught the same fish about a mile or so from where we caught it in May. It grew about a quarter inch. Kind of impressive to see how much the lake and how much of the lake these fish use. Let's hear some of the same stories from you, from Noah. So I actually took the picture Noah put up or sent to the app. I put it on the user section, and it's pretty much the same fish, man. They caught that same fish, you know, a good time apart and a good distance apart, which means, you know, catch and release works, good handling works. You know, it's one thing I love about Pete is like over the moon, and he and I talked about it, and there's a bunch of stuff coming out that we're working on about safe handling of these things. So nothing else is better than we catch a fish that we caught before. Someone we know caught that fish.
I love that, yeah.
There's a big fish that I've had four clients catch.
Ooh.
It's a lot of times, man. You know, and I've had a lot of, I mean, it's a lot of years, but you go, that's the same fish. It's really distinct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that says a lot about safe handling. Tyler, I know you've done it on that one lake you fish in Wisconsin.
I've caught the same tiger muskie twice.
Yeah.
I've caught it. I've caught a casting, and I've caught it ice fishing.
Oh, you caught it. Yeah, you did catch it through the ice. So, you know, that happens. Guys, that's a success story. And hopefully somebody else gets a chance to catch that fish. But, you know, it happens. There's a lot of, especially when you're guiding, if you're hitting the same areas, you'll see that a bunch. Anywho, next one. My wife, Amy, was a reciprocant. Dude, I'm like, my tongue has just gone today. Was a recipient of a free replica at the Milwaukee Muskie Expo. Okay, I'm trash today. I'm absolutely trash. My wife, Amy, won a free replica at the Milwaukee Muskie Expo. And she says, and for weeks, we have been on the hunt for her PB to hang on the wall. Vilas County, the UP, has been our primary hunting grounds. This weekend, they got October 17th and 18th on Green Bay. And each journey starts with a road trip and listening to the Muskie 360 podcast. That's awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We dumb.
The fact I can't read an email without slurring it speaks volumes. it's just, listen. The cool thing about me, I got brain cells to kill, folks. Brain cells to kill. Anyway, she wants to know. And he wants to know, is there any good luck or positive juju that we can do to help them catch a big fish? She and I are running out of gas and sucker money. Tyler, are we going to do the big muskie chant?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Musky, musky, hey, musky, 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 hey, musky.
Slimy. Slimy, slimy, slimy.
Catching a piggy PB. Piggy, piggy, poop piggy. Poop on the floor. Big musky.
Eat the bucktail. Eat the bucktail.
Hey, hey, hey,
poop on your feet.
Poop on your feet. That's the best we got. I know it wasn't much, folks. I know it wasn't much, but, you know, we don't go the extra mile here. I hope it helps. Rob says, hello. I'm in the market for a new muskie reel, and I'm debating on the Revo Rocket or the Revo Rocket Beast. It's got 6-2-1.
Ooh.
6-2-1.
Ooh.
He says, I have two older beasts with the 4-9-1 gear, which just aren't fast enough sometimes. I want the speed when throwing over structure, and I think I could run it slower when needed. Basically what he's saying, I'm paraphrasing, that he could slow down his reeling with the other reel. Is a rocket too fast? And should I slow down enough with that reel? I've never thrown one. Second, setting the hooks on a sucker rig, set up or to the side, going away from the fish. First part of the thing, 6-2-1's not fast.
No. They make like 8-2-1's now.
Yeah.
It's just like light speed.
I fish a 6-3-1. That's the fastest reel I fish. I'm pretty boring. 6-2-1, you can definitely slow roll with that.
Absolutely. It's going to be boring. But you can do it.
But you can do it. 4-9-1's pretty dang slow.
Yeah. Yep.
That's slow. You'll be fine with the 6-2-1. I don't see a problem with that. They don't call me half spool Steve for nothing, because I love fishing slow, and I have a 6-3-1 that I can still fish slow. So I really feel like 5-3-1, 6-3-1 are the most versatile reel, so you're right there in that zone. You know, it's all about making that hand, whatever the hand that's turning the handle, just say, slow down, dude. You know, you've got to, like, force yourself to do it. But it's 6-2-1. I don't think it's a major league slowdown. I the problem comes when you're fishing like 9, 10 to 400s. You know, yep. You're fishing you're throwing a bucktail and the thing never got wet. You know, you're just figurating in midair. There's a lot of reels that are like that are way too fast. You'll be good. All right, Tyler. Second part of his question. He's going for a 2-for-1 here.
Okay.
He's gonna set the hooks on the sucker rig. Is he gonna set up or set sideways?
To me, it doesn't matter. I don't know.
Set the hooks is what the guru says.
Just set the hooks. Make sure your hooks are sharp. I actually sharpen the hooks on my sucker rigs.
Four times. You're literally sharpening hooks in the fourth dimension is what I've heard.
Yeah, I've sharpened them so much it created a mini black hole and sucked in all of existence.
A couple times. I'm a big fan of black holes. Anyway, the next one says from Todd, do you guys like memes?
Okay.
Do you like meme stuff?
I guess so.
I like memes. I love dank memes. He said, don't know if you guys would enjoy the memes I sent. Just got bored and made these. Oh, let me look at them. Oh, Tyler, check your phone real quick.
Okay. Yes, sir.
That's pretty dank, isn't it?
It is. Oh, my gosh.
That's a dank meme, Todd. Thank you for the dank meme. We appreciate it. I call it tasty. I'm saying that's a tasty. Tyler, on a scale of 1 to 10, do you give that a tasty meme rating?
I give it a tasty.
Tasty. Next up is Josh. He says, musky men and guru. He said, love the podcast. It's gratuitous. You guys write that because you know we're going to meow and I feel used and abused. I feel hollow and empty inside. But he says, he continues in his email, and says, I've been fishing a new lake in PA stocked yearly with muskies. This weekend, the water temp was about 64. I fished the major in the morning, 7 to 9, and kept fishing for a few hours after. I saw 5 fish break the surface. I couldn't get a follow. He used the top rater. He used the spanky. He used the double 10s. He used staggered bucktails. I tried a glider. I tried a 700, a 500. He tried a shallow invader. Wow, he tried the whole tackle box. At some point, I had bait fish 8 to 10 inches long, breaking the surface for about an hour and couldn't get a follow. He said, I fished around timber, weed lines, rocks. This goes on and on and on. It's fine. He says, I fish vertically. Let me scan ahead here. He said he is fishing for my kayak, which is interesting.
Mm.
He finishes with saying, perhaps I lost the war of attrition this weekend. He says, I still don't have a clue what I'm doing. None of us do.
We're all morons.
He says, I'm still trying to get my first muskie and hellbent on doing so this year. Any advice? Okay, it's a long email, which is fine. It gives me a lot of context here. Okay.
Yes, sir?
I'm scanning over the rest of it. He's got cribs, humps, rocks. You got it.
Sounds like he threw everything, including the kitchen sink at him.
He kitchen sinked him. Here's the thing. Here would be my thing. Find this time of year, find you a tiny little topwater. I'm thinking small, like bass size. Mix that
flopper,
in there.
Flopper size?
Flopper dopper. Don't change the hooks. Find one of those. That's happens. I know what he's running into where there's sometimes where it's just like Porpoise City and they're out there going,
being, yep.
You know, you see them and you make a nature cast at them. They don't do anything. That would be my thing. Add a small little top water to your routine. Let me go over here real quick. Guess where I'm going, Todd? What website am I going to?
The Musky Shop. The Musky Shop.
.com. Wow.
.com.
Wow, dude. Jeez. Wow.
I know my stuff.
Don't stop. Hold on. I'm looking for my problem is this when you get into, you know, downsized top waters. I'm looking for the right one. Let me find her here. Let me find it. I need to find it. There's the Savage Gill. God, I can't even talk. Savage Gear Smash Tail Prop.
Ooh.
That would be one I'd be thinking about. I also like the Suic Cisco Kid Topper. That's one that I think about as well for that situation. The other thing is this, man, and I'm giving away a secret here. Creeper.
Boop, boop, boop,
yep.
Boop,
boop. Slow it down and make it easy. Keep it greasy.
I like it creepy.
Have you ever fished a Papa Chubby, Tyler?
Always popping a chubby on the water.
Oh, wait. Let me look at this. I've never looked at this bait. There's a bait called Papa Chubby. Papa Chubby's double cup lipped and tail churning spinner combine to produce the loud rhythmic sound, busting sound muskies can't resist. The handcrafted cedar wood body design and detailed finish on this lure have an amazing level of detail you've never seen produced on mass baits. I read that all messed up because I'm messed up. Listen, if I was in that kayak, I'd be trying to pop a chubby. That's all I'm saying. That's a low-hanging joke there, folks. Think top water and think slow. Another one. What do you think of the G-Rat?
The what?
There's a bait on here called the G-Rat.
Is it a rat?
It's a rat.
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 Look at that rat.
G-Rat.
Rat.
That, G-Rat. Let me look at this. Hold on. It's an 8-inch bait. Right.
I've never heard of it.
It's got a 6-inch tail.
Okay.
It's a big fish wake bait. I can't even read a description of something right now. So we're just going to keep it that way. I don't know if I'd go with the G-Rat, but that's not a bait I've looked at before, but it's pretty cool. G-Rat in the house. Is that
G-Rat?
That's my
sounds like a rapper name.
That's what I'm saying. That's my new rap name, G-Rat. What up, homie? G-Rat.
G-Rat.
G-Rat. Looking for fatties. G-Rat. See if there's anything else here. River to Sea Whopper Ploppers. Savage Gear. That's cool. The Little Lake X stuff. Be thinking that. What else? And the other thing is this, and like I said, I'm not trying to call it down the rabbit hole here, but don't be shy of twitching a really shallow running minnow bait like a shallow raider or a crane either and letting it float up. Anyway, I'm going to move on. Peter says, I live in northern Wisco, Three Lakes area. Love the podcast. You guys make me laugh through a lot of hard days at work. We appreciate that. We try our best, no matter how crummy our day is, to make you laugh, and that is our goal. Me and Tyler are dummy.
Dummies, I feed dummies. Off your laughs.
your laughs nourish me. We can hear
nourishment
from your laughs. He says, he got a musky tattoo on his forearm a few years ago. Just wanted a natural looking fish. I forgot that I said I would get a musky tattoo. Oh my goodness. Anyway, we had the one that said musky junkie, Tyler. That was pretty funny. Huh?
I like it.
I almost lost you there. So we got that one. That is a good-looking tattoo, Peter. I have the picture here. Sorry, folks, you can't see it. That's in the email feed here that I moved over. I'm going to get one, Tyler. My good friend Darren, that's buddy, I'll tell you what, we got a bait sort of cooking on the back burner. You guys are going to love Darren's part of it. He's got a really, like, awesome musky down his arm. I don't know if I'm gonna go that big, but I'm thinking about it. I'll definitely share the guru before I do it. I'll share it with you guys on the podcast. But that's a cool one. Like I said, I don't need one like chasing a G-rat down my forearm. Tyler,
I love it.
I'll give you the title. I don't. Boats don't have deeds. I'm too much of a wreck here. I'll give you the title to my boat if you get a G-rat tattoo.
Oh, I don't. I think I need the title deed to your house for that one.
Listen,
deed to your house.
This week's contest. Right?
Yes, sir. Is
buy,
what?
Buy a G-rat and scare your spouse with it.
Your spouse would be so mad that you bought one, too.
You got that G-rat scaring me? Oh, that's a cool bait.
Scared my homies.
G-rat in the house. Anyway. Ryan says, hey, guys, thanks for doing all that you do. It's really cool. Ryan, you're really cool. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ryan says he's a young angler from Ontario. Well, I'm jealous. Please adopt me, and I will be your stepchild there in Ontario, and I can live in Canada.
We'd like to live in Canada right now. Muskies.
Me and the guru are a package deal. Just get us across the border. Tyler's real good at chopping wood, okay? He said he's brought in three fish between him and his friends and really been struggling to bring in fish from these natural populations in the local lakes. I don't want to name the lakes you're on, but those are good lakes. He said he spent days and gone around the entire lake multiple times, casting lily pads and edges with bucktails, jointed, you know, crankbaits and dogs, whopper ploppers with no success. Okay, basically this. What are our strategies for a small lake that has a good muskie population? Right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to fish live bait right off the rip. He's going to in the fall. What's a small lake strategy, Tyler? And you're the king of small Wisconsin lakes because you crush. Take me from the boat ramp from morning to night. Small lake strategy. You know the lake I'm thinking about.
Yeah. What time of year? Any time of year?
Well,
summer, spring.
Tyler, it's October, and he just emailed us a couple days ago, so I don't think he's thinking about June.
I have no idea. He's talking about fishing lily pads in October in Ontario. I feel like it's a little cold up there to be fishing.
Well, maybe lily pads. Still, but what do you know? Are you Tyler? Are you the lily pads in Ontario guru?
Yes, I am. I ain't backing down, son.
Boy, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what.
I stand my ground here, Steve.
He's got a degree in botany from
aquatic botany.
Aquatic botany, Lily Pad University, Beaver Tusk, Ontario.
Yeah, an expert. But yeah,
starting out on
small lakes. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that focus on this time because, I mean, it's going to be a little bit different, but just go for it. I'm sorry I cut you off. I'm pepsified.
Pepsi. Fizzy, fizzy. All right. So with small lakes, usually when I'm did he say that he's using live bait or doesn't want
to
use it?
Well, he's going to. Could you get there? Yeah. Can you get there anytime this century? People are turning their radios off, Tower. Go.
I'm boring. Anyway, so what I would start out right now on a small lake is I would probably go fish. I'd start fishing the deeper weed edges, the transition zones to like you got like weeds in like 6 to 8 feet. I'd be fishing and casting towards like the shelf that drops into the main basin, and I'd be dragging suckers. I'm particularly thinking of a very weedy lake that I'm fishing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going all the way around it. I'm fishing all the points. I'm fishing around steep break lines. I have a real good rock shelf on one part of the lake that I'll spend quite a bit of time on casting crankbaits, casting rubber, suex, dragon suckers. I mean, dragon suckers right now is a very key tactic to catching any muskie. make sure when you're casting, you're figure eighting past your sucker every single time, because there's a fish that follows in. You could lead them right to the sucker if it doesn't eat in the figure eight. I'm just kind of fishing a little bit deeper. There's fish shallow year round. There's going to be fish shallow still, but I'm fishing more of those breaks. And I'm fishing around rocks, and I'm dragging suckers, and I'm not fishing fast. I mean, I'm not even touching a bucktail right now. Glide baits, crank baits, dive and rise, just kind of your traditional fall stuff.
Nice. And if that fails, troll cranks.
Troll cranks?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And that's
trolling cranks.
And that's the thing on a small lake is, and it's something you guys have heard me say on the podcast before. They ain't in the woods.
No.
If I get out there at sunup and it's 11:30 and nothing's happened, guess what I'm going to do? Something different.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in the woods. Don't be afraid to mix it up. One way that I can tell you that I like to check small bodies of water is like if I make say I'm paralleling the bank, right?
Yeah.
My boat's broadside to what is either a dying weed edge or a rock edge. Make those booker casts, I call them, straight off the bow of the boat. If I move a fish straight off the bow of the boat, that guide cast, that booker cast, I might be thinking trolling the rest of the day. I might be thinking repositioning my boat. So take where you're positioned, maximize that. Check the parallels, check at every angle, and get dialed in on those fish, because right now it's funky. They could be in 2 inches or they could be in 20 feet. So we've got...
They're all over. I mean, even make a nature cast right behind you. Yeah. It's the main basin.
Check everything out and play with it a little bit. Adam says, have you guys ever tried trolling deep bucktails? No. Never. Done. Thanks for
Never,
the question.
Ever.
Ever. Next. Next. Adam, I have a quick tip coming out this week about a little thing that I do to get my bucktails deep, because I don't want to have a bunch of trolling bucktails and I don't want to have a bunch of extra heavy bucktails I can't cast. So I've got a little mod I do for that. I'll put it out there. It's basically adding big weights in front of those things. I'll show you guys how I do it. He says, I've never considered downriggers for trolling. You know, do I need them? I don't want to fool with that garbage. I mean, I'm not saying garbage like they're bad.
Trash.
Trash. I don't have time to fool with that. So I have a trick for that. It's adding weight in the front. I'll put it on the app this week, a little quick tip. It's really effective without having to own 6 trillion bucktails. Jake says, my Muskie Shop shield rod came in the mail this week.
Woo!
He says, it's awesome. Yeah. Told you it was. You ain't telling me anything. I don't know, Jake.
We ain't lying. It good.
It good. He said, unfortunately, the possum I sent in the mail for payment came back and acted like it had some sort of traumatic experience at the Muskie Shop. Not sure what happened. Wow. I don't know what they did to your possum, but boys, I'll tell you what. From the top of the show, I can tell you they don't want them up there. Keep sending possums. He said, wanted to know, Steve. Oh, God. Jeez, Tyler. Come on.
What?
He says, wanted Steve to know that your advertising video for the shield rod was great. My wife says you don't look near as stupid as you sound on the podcast. Wow. Wow.
I can promise you we both are that stupid.
Your wife's wrong. Okay.
Your wife's wrong.
They caught me for 32 seconds. My wife had to dry me out to get that done. She's like,
tell your wife she's wrong. She'll understand.
Yeah. But mine was like, listen. She woke me up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Drink this water and let's get out here and shoot this thing. That's what happened. The rest of the time I'm a babbling moron. That was like the 45 seconds for that video that I shot. That was the most coherent I've been in 9 months.
9 years.
9 years. That's actually pretty correct. He continues to say, our river has been painfully low all summer to the point that I can't get to the spots I normally fish even with my jet boat. What is your advice for fishing extremely high pressured fish And when the water does come back up, I'm sure the temps will drop big time. What would you do after a big change in water temp and level? If it's cold, go deep. And they're going to check out those spots. Like, if it's been, like, so low that there's shoreline spots that have not been available, I'm thinking, like, small plants, things have started to grow on the edges. Bait fish will gravitate towards that. But if it's just, like, devoid of anything, new developments, because it's been low and the water temp drops a bunch, go deep, go to the holes, right? And if it's jet boatable, it might be a 5-foot hole. That might be all you have. But check the deep haunts. But on the same token, man, keep an eye out for areas that are filling back up. If there's been vegetation, if there's anything that's going to draw bait fish in on those edges that have been dry, check that out. You know, he's saying there's high pressure. Leave the bucktails at home.
Because everybody else is throwing the bucktails.
They're going to be out there just a whacking and a smacking. Bucky, 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 bucky. If it's a jet, and when I'm thinking jet boat water, it's really shallow. I would be looking for deep holes, and deep is relative, right? If it only gets 10 feet deep, that's all it gets. If it gets 7 feet deep, that's all it gets. Find the relative deep areas and hit it with rubber and hit it with cranks.
Basically, what you're saying is if it's like 5 feet and all of a sudden it goes down to like 8 or 9, that's a hole.
That's a hole. You know, deep holes on a river are relative. If it's a big cool down, too, slow down. So go cranks, go rubber, go slow. If the water current is low enough or slow enough that you can throw gliders, go slow gliders. If it's high pressure like that, the ding-dongs are going to come back. Regardless, I don't care if it's 5 degrees outside, they're going to be throwing bucktails.
Every time.
They're going to put down their tens and pick up a bulldog, and that's all these people got. They got two moves. So forget that garbage. If you're going to fish rubber, fish it different. Fish the toad. Fish a Bondi. Fish in these holes. Fish a tube, right? If you're saying, if it's as high pressured as is, I'm guessing from the email. So fish slow, fish different, fish deep. That would be my takeaway. Last one, because it is super late. Ted.
Me tired.
Ted says, I know when a lake turns over, it means bad fishing. But what does turnover mean exactly? Well, Ted, you're one of the many that snuck through here that Pete Mayna answered. So hopefully I can't answer it any better than he did. He knows his stuff. That would cover it, Guru. My goodness. That's a podcast and a half, my friend.
It is a long one.
Long one. We got good stuff coming up next week, folks. Other than I know I made up some ridiculous contest. Let's do this. I need a Guru's Words of Wisdom contest this week. We need fresh Guru's Words of Wisdom. Send your best Guru Words of Wisdom. You're going to get a Junior's in line.
I love it.
We're going to pick the best. You're going to get the best. Junior's in line, because Andrew from over there sent me some ripping new bucktails this week. We'll send you a new bucktail. Guru.
Yes, sir.
That's another one in the bag, baby. See you next
week.
We
are done. Bite me.